Yeah, that was good, wasn't it, huh? Thank you, folks. Richardson's, that's a blessing. We were kind of talking about stuff like that with the pastor and Mrs. Hewitt today, you know, wondering why we lose our children at times in the ministry. And, you know, I know a pastor's kids who've just gone off... Every one of us has the propensity in us to do our own thing, don't we? And just because you're raised in church doesn't mean that you don't have those heartaches and things in your life. All right, so we good? I'm still hearing a little bit of up here. So, sound equipment. I told you the other night, sound equipment's demon-possessed. So, anyway. All right, so ready for a quiz. Have you having fun with this? I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you are or not, but sorry, girls, you weren't here last night. So, you ready? Just because you sang it, come here, come here. Come here, grab this. I was going to throw it, but I won't do it. You don't take it? Hope that's enough. If it's not enough, let me know. I'll give you another one. So, is it enough? Okay. Did I get it right? Okay, cool beans. All right. All right, here we go. Ready? Last. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, I missed. That's the only soccer move I know, and I can't even do it right. All right. So whose life in the Old Testament did we use it as an... Now, you got to say sword of the Lord like his brother did. So whose life in the Old Testament did we use as an example of bitterness?
Sword of the Lord, Ruth.
No, Naomi, but I'll give it to you. That was not a trick question. Okay, so. And you didn't catch it anyway. So, all right, who was it? Yes. Naomi. Underhanded even, huh? All right. Number two. What does Naomi... We're still ringing up here. I don't know what's going on, but... What does the name Naomi mean? Naomi means what? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Good job, man. Alive. Y'all are good. Want to do it around behind the back? Maybe I'll do it under the leg the next time. Ready? Mara means... Pastor?
Bitter.
You didn't say so to the Lord, but I'll give it to you anyway. All right. The remedy for bitterness is encompassed in one word. What is that word? Ma'am. Forgiveness. John, take it back to her. I don't want to hit her in the head, you know, right here in the forehead, and she look like a Hindu. You know, that little red thing, that Hindu. What is a Hindu? Well, they lay eggs, right? So, okay. All right, we talked about a prison camp guard that was forgiven by whom in her life? Yes. Yes, man alive. She's right, she's killing. I know, I'm looking over here, so I'll look over here next time. Okay. How can an all-knowing God say, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more? How is that possible? Anybody remember? Wow, she jumped on that like a chicken on a June bug. Can you give it to her, Brother Ed? Okay. That was almost too low. Okay. Very good. That's good. Good job. All right. How do we dig up the root of bitterness? How do we dig up the root of bitterness? Ooh, did I stump y'all? Yes, ma'am. Forgiveness. Very good. All right. Hey, we're running out. I got enough, I think, for tomorrow night, but we'll see how it goes. All right, we're going to go to the book of Romans tonight and look at chapter number 12. All right, so we had a handout. Pastor's about convinced me to not do handouts, not preach by notes. You know, I use notes. He uses, what do you call it, a tablet or an iPad. I want to use a tablet, so I'm going to get me a tablet. I'm going to get one of those Indian, you know, the old tablets. What do they call them? Big Chief, you know, tablets. Yeah, so that's the tablet that I'm going to start using. So anyway, that was dumb, wasn't it? Okay. All right, Romans chapter 12. And I didn't say this last night, although the pastor kind of bailed me out a little bit. You remember the two things that I asked you at the very beginning of all of this on Sunday morning? I asked you to do two things. Number one is this, Psalm 139, where David says, "Search me." So I asked you to let God speak to your heart. And you are willing to allow Him to come in and search your heart, right? To know your thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. To allow Him to pull it all out, right? And that needs to be done on a regular basis, right? I think we ought to be taking inventory every once in a while to take inventory to see where we're at in our relationship with God. And then number two, if God shows you something that you need to deal with, let me encourage you to deal with it. To deal with it. All right, Romans chapter 12. So tonight I want to talk to you about repairing ruptured relationships. I have, who didn't get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, would you lift your hand? Pastor's back there in the back, got some handouts for you. And there aren't any blanks to fill in tonight, and we'll make reference to the handout here in just a little bit. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 16. Would you stand with me as we read Romans chapter 12, verse 16 down to we'll just read the rest of the chapter. So Romans chapter 12 and verse number 16. All right? Everybody there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Where Paul says this, "Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil." In other words, don't pay back those who commit evil against you. Don't recompense. Don't reward them for their evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So again tonight, being spiritually well by repairing ruptured relationships. Maybe you are in a relationship with a loved one, a coworker, whatever it is, a relationship that has been torn apart. Ruptured. Okay? So I want to try to give us some thoughts here tonight to help us in repairing ruptured relationships. So, Father, we need you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be here. It's just been a wonderful week, and Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of those that have been here every night this week. And I know this is an unusual meeting in the length of time, and most of meetings that we go to anymore in churches are 3 or 4 days. And Lord, I know that there are folks that are here tonight that have worked hard today, and they're worn out. And I thank you. I sincerely thank you, Lord, that they've chosen to come and be here tonight. And I just pray that what we would have for them from the message tonight will be a help. And Lord, I'm asking if there be one here this evening that doesn't know Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. We have no guarantees of tomorrow. None of us do. We have no guarantees that tomorrow will ever come. And so I just ask you, God, that if there be someone that's here tonight or someone that will listen to the live stream, Lord, that needs a Savior, that you'd bring conviction to their heart, help them to see their need for Jesus Christ. So bless our time together, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I started out in the ministry as a pastorate, I'll say it that way. My first pastorate, I was 24 years old, and I was dumber than a bucket of rocks. I had no idea what I was doing. Five days after I became pastor of this church, a guy was supposed to perform a wedding in our church building, and he got very sick, and so he calls me and says, "I can't do the wedding. Will you do the wedding?" And I went, I mean, I'd never done a wedding in my life, you know. And I had some books on it, and I'd got a book when I was in Bible college with some wedding ceremonies. And I pulled that out, and I got up there, and I stood up behind the, you know, in front of them. And I felt like Belshazzar when his knees smote one against another. And, you know, I'm sure they could hear my knees, you know, scared out of my gourd. Right in the middle of this wedding ceremony, a woman comes in, and she's got a floppy hat on and a pair of short shorts and a halter top, and she comes running up the aisle with a camera and starts taking pictures. Comes up behind me, and she's taking pictures. The bride's just, you know, smiling at this woman. And so anyway, it was an interesting experience, to say the least. So I pastored a church in the Piney Woods, deep Piney Woods of East Texas. And our town had a population of 1,500 people. There are 5 Baptist churches in our town of 1,500 people. And all of them but one seriously was a split off of each other. While we were there, that church that I pastored celebrated its 25th anniversary. And I still have to this day, I still can't even figure out how this was possible. But in 25 years, I was the 22nd pastor of this church. 22 different pastors in 25 years. We were there 2.5 years, almost broke a record for the longest stay at that church. And so somewhere way back yonder in the history of this church, we had these families that got into some kind of a feud with one another. It's almost like the Hadfields and the McCoys, only weren't killing each other. They were sure doing it spiritually. So we had these two families that got into it for some reason. And again, I never did figure out what it was. So you had the grandparents, then you had their kids, and then you had the kids' kids, and they had 3 generations of people that didn't get along with each other. We had a middle aisle just like this, and these folks on this side didn't like these folks on this side. Now, we had a great time there, and it was we saw the church grow, and in spite of me and in spite of all of this, but somewhere down the road, someone got crossways with the other family. You know, and I'm sure And as sure as I'm standing here tonight, that all of us have experienced some kind of a strained relationship, whatever it might be. Perhaps it started with a disagreement that turned into an argument, and then harsh words were exchanged, and then that relationship is torn apart, is ruptured. And it maybe you might know of someone who had a fight with a friend or a family member years ago, and that relationship has never been restored. You know, we can find those kinds of situations in the Bible. And you know why that is? Because the Word of God deals with fallen people who live in a fallen world. And that's where we're at in our lives. We are fallen people who live in a fallen world. So let's kind of walk through, and I want to share some things with you in regard to ruptured relationships. So the first thing I want to look at is this. And by the way, some of this might be on a quiz somewhere down the line. All right. So number one is this. Let's talk about the roots of ruptured relationships. Sometimes relationships can be ruptured or ruined by sin. By sin, right? Now, we're not going to take the time to go there, but if you want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8 and 9, where David has become the champion of the children of Israel, you know, because he went out and he faced Goliath when none of the other Israelite soldiers would. David, maybe a 17-year-old teenage boy, said, "Is there not a cause?" And he went out and he slew this 9-foot-tall guy. I want you to think about that. A giant of a man slew him. And when he comes back from the battle, the women of the city begin to sing songs. You remember this? And as he comes into the city, the women begin to sing this: "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." You remember that? Do you remember how Saul responded to that? He said, "What more can he want than the kingdom?" By the way, he'd already been given the kingdom. Saul just hadn't figured all that out yet. And the Bible says from that day and forward that Saul, listen, eyed David. Do you know what that means? He said, "I'm going to keep my eye on you, little whippersnapper. I'm going to watch you." And Saul was wroth. The Bible says it right here. Saying that it's, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he want more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now, none of that was David's fault, was it? David just went out and he did what he knew that he needed to do, and that was face the giant Goliath and slew him, and he's only doing what he knew that he was supposed to do. None of that was David's fault. So here's a good question. Are you in a ruptured relationship because of sin? Your sin? Or maybe the other person's sin? Isn't that a legitimate question to ask? Sometimes relationships are broken by sin. Number two, sometimes relationships can be ruptured by taking a stand. In Acts chapter 15, you read about a man by the name of Paul, or Saul, and Barnabas. And they were missionaries. They were church planters. So in Acts chapter 15, they've already made their first missionary journey, and they decide that they want to go back and visit the churches that they'd started. I think that's a great thing to do. That's what missionaries do, isn't it? You go back on a furlough, maybe not the churches that you've started, but the churches maybe that supported you, and your pastor would know all about that. And so they determined they were going to go back and visit these churches. So they got together, and Barnabas said to Saul, "All right, so I think we ought to take John Mark with us." Now, it tells us in the Scripture that somewhere along the line that John Mark, which by the way, would have been Barnabas' nephew. For some reason, whatever reason that was, we're not told in Scripture, he decided that he did not want to go and be with them, and so he went home. Maybe he got discouraged. Maybe he didn't like the idea of having to go into a city and look at two places, a synagogue and a jail. And maybe he got tired of all of the persecution. For whatever reason, we're not told in the Bible, he decided to go home. So Barnabas said, I want to take John Mark with us. And Paul said, I don't think that's a good idea because he left us. And the more they begin to discuss this, the contention between them got so sharp that they decided that Paul was going to go off in a different direction and take a man by the name of Silas. And Barnabas took John Mark and they had this split. Now, I think it's kind of interesting because in the next chapter, chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and Silas go into the city of Philippi, which, by the way, is the first time that the gospel message is preached on the European continent. So even though they had this contention, right? This problem, this contention between them, there was this ruptured relationship that manifested itself. Now, I want to stop and say this. Who was right and who was wrong isn't really the point, is it? The point is, sometimes when you take a stand, you can end up in a broken relationship. You determine that you're going to take a stand for the things of God. That you're going to be faithful to church and that and you get pushback. We've had students that came to Heartland Baptist Bible College whose parents did not want them to be there. One particular young lady, she was of Asian descent and she was from Ireland. And it was the coolest thing. You have this Asian girl, she walk up to you and say, top of the morning to you, Brother Jet. And this very strong Irish accent. I mean, it was awesome. She got saved in a church in China. You know who I'm talking about? You know her? You may not know her. I don't. Maybe she was before you came, but now. And she got saved in a church in communist China. And she went to church. She'd come home for church, and her mother would beat her and lock her in a room and wouldn't let her out of her room. And she'd open up her window and sneak out and go to church. She'd come home, and her mom would beat her. Sometimes when you take a stand, ruptured relationships can exist. Is that right? Now, here's a couple of things I want to add this. You remember Paul Harvey and he did the rest of the story? Remember that? How many of you remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? Great, great things. So here's the rest of the story. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, Paul tells Timothy to bring John Mark with him. You say, wait a minute, isn't that the same guy that Paul and Barnabas had a split over? Absolutely it was. And then in that verse he says, bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to me now. He's not only profitable to the Apostle Paul, but he's profitable to God because you and I read a whole book in the New Testament written by the same young man called the Book of Mark. Let me say it this way. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? You know what I mean by that, right? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you the very first time you messed up? He would have given up on me a long time ago. But sometimes relationships can be broken when we take a stand. Here's another thing. Sometimes relationships can be broken by separation. You know, you have a good relationship with people that enjoy doing the things that you enjoy doing. I mean, my wife and I, we have married for 52 years. Right? It's just amazing to me to think. Of course, we were 12 when we got married, but so anyway, and I love to fish. I do. I am a fisherman. I mean, if I can go fishing, I enjoy it. So my wife, she goes fishing with me. Now, she doesn't fish. So we go down to the White River there in Arkansas, and I'm trout fishing. And she's sitting on a rock, and she's got a book in her hand, and she's reading a book. and I'm fishing. And if I catch a fish, I will hold the fish up and I will go. And she looks up from her book and I'm like this. And she goes, yay. And goes right back to her book. But here's the deal. You know why she likes to go with me, even if she doesn't fish? Because we like hanging out with people that like to do what we do. Right? Don't you? You like to hang out with people that like the things that you like. And in the book of Amos it says, can two walk together except they be what? They be agreed. We have good relationships with people that like to do the things that we do. And listen, I'll say it this way. If you are a believer and you are growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a natural separation from those who aren't growing. Not only is it a natural separation, natural consequence, it's a necessary consequence. I will say it this way. Maybe I mentioned this earlier. My son says, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Young people, you need to take note of that. There may be some times in your life because of your desire to live for the Lord that you might have to make some different friends. That applies to adults too, doesn't it? So our relationships can be ruptured because of separation, and that is a natural consequence. And not only is it a natural consequence, but it is a necessary consequence. So I want to go now to Romans chapter 12. And verse number 18. We could focus on the whole passage here, but I like what Paul says here. If it be what? What's the next word? Possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now here's what I think Paul is trying to help us to understand. The idea is this, that so let's forget about the other person for just a moment, okay? Let's focus just on you for just a moment. If it be possible, as much as lieth where? In you, all right? In you, live peaceably with all men. Now, here's what I think, Paul, and this is important for us to get from this verse. Paul is saying to us this, you are the one that seeks after peace, okay? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You are the one, okay? Forget about the other person for just a moment. You are the one that is to seek after peace. You are the one that is to pursue after peace. You are the one that is to cultivate that peace. You think of the account that we read about Saul and David. Saul repeatedly, right? Repeatedly tried to kill David. You remember that? You read it in the Old Testament. You remember this? David comes in. I'm going to preach on this, I think, Sunday or Saturday afternoon in the 2 o'clock service. I'm preaching a message about David. But you remember this? Saul goes into a cave, not knowing that David and his men are in the cave. You remember that? And David's men say, here's your chance. The Lord's brought your enemy right to your doorstep. And David takes his knife and he crawls to where Saul is at. You remember this? He cuts off a piece of his robe. And immediately the Bible says that he's brought, that the Lord brings conviction to his heart. Do you know why? Because he saw that Saul was God's anointed. And he said, I cannot raise my hand against God's anointed. You say, now wait a minute. If I remember, the prophet Samuel shows up and pours oil on David's head and said, this is the one that I've chosen to be the replacement for Saul. But here's what you need to understand. David understood that his time wasn't yet. And he said, this is God's anointed. And he was brought, and conviction was brought to his heart. On another occasion, Saul and his men are lying down in a little ditch in their sleep. And the Lord brings a deep sleep on them. And David goes to where Saul is at, and he takes his spear, and he takes his bolster of water, his canteen of water, and he carries it off, and he calls out to Saul. Two occasions. David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Didn't he? How did he respond to that? He responded by pursuing after peace. Verse 21 of chapter 12. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. With good. He always, this is important. David, he didn't always do everything right. We know that. He was a man like all any of us that are in here. But he always kept the door open to restore that relationship. All right, so you got a little chart here. Let's go to the chart. So I want to look at some things here. So when we seek, where are we at here? Okay, so Roman numeral number, how to respond to a ruptured relationship. So here, okay, so again, I don't want you to think about the other person that maybe you are in a ruptured relationship with, all right? Let's just focus on you for just a moment. And I know we live in a society today where it's all about me, you know. You know, selfies. I can't take selfies because all I do is see up my nose, you know. And I sure enough don't want to do the poochy lip. What do they call them? Duck lip thing? Is that what that is? That doesn't even look like a duck. Yeah, anyway. I got a little grandson. He's a year old. And my daughter-in-law took a picture and he's going, doing the duck lip thing. I don't know. All right, so we live in a society of selfie, right, you know. Hey, all right, so help me out here, okay? What does this mean in sign language? That's a universal thing. Everybody knows that, right? I love you, okay? Do you know what the sign language for selfie is? Are you ready? Here it is. Ready? Boop. Boop. Instead of I love you, it's I love. Here, ready? See that finger? Boop. I love me. Isn't that crazy? Because that's what this is all about. Here you are, and here's the world, and everything around you revolves around you. It's not even my nose, but I'm just telling you this. Let's focus on you for just a moment. Can we do that? Will you let me do that? All right. So look at your chart. Number one is this. Here are some legitimate questions to ask. First of all, am I wrong? Isn't that a good question to ask? And I got a verse there. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the action that we take is to this, to remember that I cannot change them. You get this. I cannot change them. I can only change my what? Response to them. All we can do is walk according to God's word. Do you see that? Isn't that important? Is that a legitimate question to ask? If you are in a relationship that's been strained or ruptured, Lord, am I wrong in this whole situation? Here's another question to ask. Am I reaping my own problem, my own sin? There's a principle there in Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So the second question you ask yourself, is this something that I'm reaping of something that I have sown? And look at the action. Am I identifying in them what may be in my heart? And the action is Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So am I reaping my own problem? And then number three is this, Colossians 3:8. We looked at this the other night. What is the wrong that I am to put off? Have you heard that a lot this week? I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but it's very, very important that we get this. So Paul says, here's what I'm to put off, right? Malice, right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So here's the action that we take. I will identify my own sin and do what with it? Confess it. Get it right. Am I willing to confess this as sin and ask God for forgiveness? So if you put something off, what do you have to do next? Help me out. What do you do next? You put something on. You replace what you put off. And here's what he says. Here's what you put on. Here's what we need. Here's what they need, perhaps. And that is this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I'm going to say this right here. There is nothing in the Bible that tells me and tells you that you have to have a good self-esteem. There is this idea that before I can love you, I have to love me. That's not Bible. The Bible teaches that if we love God the way that we're supposed to, we're not going to have a trouble. We're not going to have problems loving people on this level. Jesus said when the man came in Matthew 22 and said, what's the greatest commandment? The one that wrote the book. Jesus, the one that wrote the book, said the greatest commandment in God's Word is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then he added this, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. But the order is you get this one right, and you don't have a problem loving these on this level. That's Bible. Let each esteem other better than themselves. So what do? We study to understand. Are they struggling with insecurity or worry or fear? Study them. See what they need in their life. Pastor and I were talking about this in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, he talks about let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what this thing about putting off and putting on in Ephesians 4 is all about? It's all about you doing putting these things off and replacing them with things that you can be a blessing to somebody else. That's right there. It's right there. So what can I do to help them? The printer left off the them there, so just imagine that the word down at the bottom, what can I do to help them, is there. If you want to write it on there, you can. And here's the action that you can take. I can choose to put on and show God's love. I can choose to follow Romans 12 and let them see Christ. And it left off these two words, in me. I can choose to let them see Christ in me. All right. So I want to try to get through here. So let's get this. All right. So repairing ruptured relationships. Here are some practical applications for reconciliation. Okay? Here they are. Ready? Again, Romans 12, verse 18. Let's look at it again. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I've already said this. It's all about you pursuing after peace. It's all about you choosing to pursue after peace. So here's a question. Are you in a ruptured relationship? And it could be, I don't know this. It could be that you are in several relationships that need restoration. So what do you do? Here's what you do. Number one, do all that you can to restore that relationship. And again, I read it there in verse 18. As much as lieth in you. He doesn't say as much as lieth in the other person, does he? He says as much as lieth in you. You are the one that seeks after the restoring that ruptured relationship. Here's the second thing you need to do. Number two is this: you eliminate your pride and your hurt feelings. We are such proud people, aren't we? We are proud people. And sometimes our pride leads us in a wrong direction. You know, and I have this in my notes. Time doesn't always heal wounds. And you may be thinking, well, too much time has passed, and you think that reconciliation isn't possible. You know what that if you eliminate your pride and your hurt feelings, you'll seek after that reconciliation. Here's the third thing we do. Look for ways to keep the path to reconciliation open. Well, how do you do that? How can you keep the path? All right, let's suppose that this person doesn't want to be reconciled to you. How do you keep that path open? Here's what you can do for them. Number one, you pray for them. You pray for them. So what do I pray? Well, maybe you can pray that God will someday speak to them, and one day they may come to you and desire to restore that relationship. So you can pray for them. Second thing you ought to do, and this is so simple, but it's true. You love them. Love them. So what if they don't want to love? What if they don't want to love me back? This is not about them. You got to get this. This is not about them. This is about you. He said, "Well, how do I show them that I love them? Words and actions." You want to write these two verses down? Let me give them to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter says this: "And above all things have," all right, here's the word, "fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Not just charity. Did we talk about that word the other night? Which is the strongest word in the Bible for love, for God so loved the world that He gave. Fervent charity. On fire love. Fervent charity. 1 John 3, verse 18. Write this verse down. "My little children, let us..." Oh, this is so good. "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed." What is deed? Actions. Right? "In deed and in truth." Don't just tell somebody you love them. Don't be like the guy the day he got married. He tells, "Well, I told her the day we got married that I loved her, and if that changes, I'll let her know." You know, men, every once in a while, you got to show them that you love them. It's not just a matter of speech, but it's a matter of actions that show our professed love and how sincere and how real that it is. Here's the fourth thing you do. Take opportunity to do good to them. Take opportunity to do good to them. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." What's he talking about? He's talking about other believers, isn't he? Do good to all men. Number five, be kind and open to their friendship. Be kind and open to their friendship. And we read Ephesians 4:32 where Paul says, "And be ye kind one to another." Remember, we talked about that last night. There is no qualifier there. Be kind and one to another, tenderhearted. Paul doesn't say, if they are kind to you, you be kind to them. No, it's not about them. It's about you doing what God says for you to do. You say, well, what if they don't want to be reconciled? You just make sure your heart is right. You can't control their response, but what can you control? Your own response. You say, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I want to remind you, do you deserve God's forgiveness? Let me close with this story. When our son Jason, he's maybe fourth grade, I'm not sure. It's right before we moved to Evanston, Wyoming. We're in Abilene, Texas. We have this big old pecan tree in our backyard. Is it pecan tree down here or pecan? Pecan, right? That's the way you're supposed to say it. But anyway, so, huh? Pecan, pecan. We got a pecan tree in a backyard out here. All right, so. So anyway, he decided he's going to play Tarzan, and he got a rope, tied it to this limb on the tree. And unfortunately, Jason did not go; wasn't a Boy Scout, so he didn't know how to tie knots. So he is standing on the tree, and he swings out, and the knot comes loose. And he falls, and he lands just like this. And broke this wrist and this wrist. So he comes in, and this one, I think, is twisted up. And so we throw him in the car. We take him to the emergency room. And the doctors take x-rays, and the doctor comes in and says, yes, he's got both of his wrists are broken. The left one isn't as bad as the right one. And he said, we're going to have to set the bone. And I will never forget what he said. The next statement was, he said, we can do it one of two ways. We can put him to sleep, or we can sneak up on him. And he said, I think we'll just sneak up on him. So the nurse grabs this upper part of his arm, and the doctor grabs his hand, and Jason's just kind of sitting there. I mean, he's kind of thinking it's cool, right? And the doctor grabs a hold of his wrist, and you can hear the bones go back into place. And the doctor said, if that had been an adult, he would have passed out. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there watching this whole thing, and I'm about ready to pass out. You know? And, you know, but okay, help me out. What would have happened to Jason's wrist had we not set the bones? It would have never healed properly, right? You know, and he could have had a hand that's out here like this when it should be out here like this. Let me give you this verse. Paul says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do you know what the word restore there means? It means to repair, to mend, to join together. Oh, here it is. The setting of a bone. That's what it carries the thought of. The setting of a bone. Now, when Jason broke his wrists, and I use that multiple wrist, both of them, you know what he didn't need? He didn't need me to sit down and show him a YouTube video on how to tie a knot. That's not what he needed. He needed restoration, didn't he? He didn't need me to post pictures on Facebook to let everybody see his wrist. Turned out, look at my boy's wrist. Look at this. No, what did he need? He needed his mom and dad to take him to the ER and get his bone restored. He didn't need his arm amputated. He only had a broken bone, but he needed restoration. He needed his mother and dad who loved him, right? Listen, who loved him, who pick him up and take him to the emergency room for restoration. Reconciliation may not always be possible. But here's what it should be. It should be in your heart and your desire. Hey, can I say it this way? To mend that broken bone. To bring restoration. And Paul says, as much as lieth in you. And I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. Two things. Number one, we are to do our utmost to preserve peace. And we're not to be the one to begin the quarrel. We are to live peaceably. with all men. We're to be the one that seeks after peace, to be at peace, to pursue peace, to cultivate peace. And then he adds this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with who? Who? All men. You know what that includes? Immediate family, husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, bosses and employees, church members, with pastors, and church members with church members. I just think that first pastor that we had, what God could have done in that congregation had years ago they had gotten together and said, this is wrong. I don't know this, but I think there were a lot of blessings of God that were not on that congregation because somebody way back yonder in the history of that church got crossways with somebody else, and they never, ever restored. To this day, I don't know that there was ever any attempts to restoration. So if you're in a ruptured relationship, let's get it restored. I think the greatest example of ruptured relationships being restored in the Bible was with Joseph and his brothers. I want you to think about that. Joseph was bullied. We have a counseling guide for kids on bullying, and it focuses on the life of Joseph. He was bullied by his brothers. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Right? He was bullied by Potiphar's wife, wasn't he? He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was bullied by Potiphar, thrown in prison. And when his brothers show up on the scene to get food, they don't recognize Joseph. You know what Joseph could have done had he been like a lot of people? He would have killed all of his brothers. But instead, what did he do? At one point, when he revealed himself to them, you know, remember what he said to them? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Have you ever had this thought? Had Joseph killed all of his brothers, you know what would have happened to the nation of Israel? It would have been eradicated. But because he, here it is, was willing to restore that ruptured relationship, he saved a whole nation of people alive. He responded in the way that you and I need to respond when it comes to ruptured relationships. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know where you're at tonight in your relationships, but maybe as we've gone through this tonight, you're thinking about somebody that you are in a ruptured relationship with. It takes a lot of willingness in our hearts to try to make that right. So what if they don't want to get right? That's not their, it's not your problem. Your goal is to pursue after that peace. If it be possible, as much as life, then you live peaceably with all men. So it's your responsibility to seek after that reconciliation. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bless the invitation and speak to hearts tonight. Lord, thank you for your word that gives us guidance and direction and wisdom and leadership. And I pray that if there be someone that's here tonight that's in a broken relationship, that they would seek to mend that bone that's been broken. To mend it. To bring it back to the place of healing. So Lord, speak to hearts as only you can tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? And as she begins to play, Kate begins to play, if you need to come, you make your way to the altar if God's spoken to your heart. And listen, if you need Jesus tonight, you need to come. Let God save you if you need the Lord tonight. All right.